Hello and welcome to this episode of the ISCN podcast, the podcast by the International Smart Cities Network. Today we talk about artificial intelligence and digital rights in the public sector. And who would be a better interview partner than Milo Jansen from the city of Amsterdam? Amsterdam has been leading the way in the last years. They've been developing AI-based processes in-house. They've opened up about the use of algorithms, and they've been sharing successes and challenges alike with other cities around the world. Today, we want to find out more about how Amsterdam deals with AI and what digital rights has got to do with it. Milo, I'm very happy to have you here today on the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. I'm really excited about this particular episode because I'm really curious to hear about what's happening in the city of Amsterdam when it comes to artificial AI on digital rights, the work that you're doing with the City's Coalition for Digital Rights, for example, on international level. So many exciting topics around AI that we can discuss today. And I'm particularly happy because, yeah, you are the person when it comes to AI and ethics in Amsterdam, as far as I was able to research that. You are currently leading the work on digital rights in the city of Amsterdam. And before that, you've been the advisor on the topics on AI and AI ethics and data in the city of Amsterdam. And you're also coordinating the city's Coalition for Digital Rights. It's really a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And I would like to start with the question, what brought you to these topics, artificial AI and ethics? How did you end up in this specific topic?
Yeah, that's a fun question that I remind myself back to every now and then, like what is the mission that we work for? And why do I really aim to do this from within a government? I think I started exploring the field of digital policy and innovation more in my early study years. And there was this quote that always came that really struck me. It's, we create our tools and afterwards our tools create us. So that's where the highlight is really on how society shapes technology and technology shapes society. It was also at the time that the GDPR was just being introduced. There I found out that there are a whole bunch of values and rights, precise privacy or linked to privacy, that are really worth fighting for and protecting in the society we are building. With the rise of the use of data and AI in, in the social fabrics of our institutions, of how we live together, of how we look at the world. And it's really it's a nice way to highlight these nuances and mostly invisible topics and combine them in a field that is more mathematical driven or data driven, based on more what can be observed. And I would like to balance that with what cannot be observed and how can we bring that together. And so far it's an endlessly interesting field indeed. And that inspired me to work on these topics from local city governments and then also choose a major more in the field of philosophy and technology, which I will stop there.
Which sounds already super exciting, I think, especially this combination of philosophy and technology, which opens, I think, a whole different, you know, topic for a podcast on its own, I think. There's one thing you mentioned, that sort of artificial intelligence, these topics around data usage, ethics, it's mainly invisible in the city. I think you said invisible. And when people hear the term AI, I have the feeling that they usually think about a really futuristic kind of solution. Currently, we have this huge hype around ChatGPT, the chatbot that is going on in relation to AI. But when we look at the city, what's your favorite AI-based application in the city of Amsterdam at the moment, and why?
One application that comes to mind, it's fairly simple to explain it, but fairly complicated in the whole context of a city government. So there's an AI system that classifies or categorizes the reports that citizens make on events in public space. So it can be a tree that fell down, it can be a loose tile on the streets, it can be trash that was not picked up, it can be noise from the neighbors, like any types of events that you would like to report to the city can be done online via text. And yeah, as the people know working at governments on the back end there, there are so many different departments that have to follow up each of those different cases. So the tree department is something very different from the canal department or the trash department. And there's an AI system based on language learning that classifies these reports automatically and sends them to the right department. So that means that it doesn't have to be done manually. And the different departments responsible for the case can follow up rather quickly. And I think that's kind of mediates the contact between the citizens that have problems, but also all those different departments. So it's really, I think, a good way to boost collaboration. And what's also interesting is that there we found out that the system works a bit better for people with a particular language level. So those reports had a bigger accuracy score and therefore may have received better services, but the feedback loop in that system is also really good, which means that there's a whole service center also around this categorization of reports. So on the one hand, they improved the language performance for also lower levels of Dutch and English speakers. And on the other hand, there's also a collaboration with people also following up on reports that do not get sent automatically to the right department. So I think that's a new way of working.
It sounds like a super helpful tool. And also in terms of, I don't know if you have similar issues in the Netherlands, but I guess so, that it's hard to find sort of manual labor, right? The right experts to work in these persons. And it sounds like that you can save a lot of work and time in automating these processes and with a lot of other benefits as well. I was wondering, did you develop this solution completely in-house or did you have external support for this?
No, this was developed in-house.
Yeah. That's quite impressive, actually. It basically also leads over to my next question, because when I hear a solution like this is developed in-house in a city and all the activities that are ongoing in the city of Amsterdam, I think one can easily say that Amsterdam really is a trailblazer when it comes to using and leveraging data and artificial intelligence. And I remember a while back, I think it's 1 or 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even longer, the city launched an initiative called AI or Algorithm Register, together with the city of Helsinki. Can you tell us a bit more about this AI register and also about the reason for the launch of such a register?
We found the AI register to be a good tool to deal with several dynamics of the use of algorithms in public administrations that we wanted to tackle. First, we wanted to be very transparent on where we are using these algorithms and in which processes automated decision rules are being applied. And it's actually quite a difficult question to tackle, because first, it depends on the type of definition you would like to use for an AI registry, like what should be in there, what not. And we decided that it should be like you say, not related to future uses of AI, but also what we're really using nowadays. So transparency is very important. And also because of that, learning as an organization on how to implement different algorithms and different processes, and also making sure that you make the right choices when it comes to fairness or when it comes to openness, when it comes to equality, when it comes to freedom, because we're still quite at the start as local governments to start working with algorithms, and with that comes a lot of questions as well. And I think it's really good for any government to also be open about where algorithms are being applied right now, even when it's not that exciting from the inside. It's just about automating processes usually that already exist. But with that, like I said, come a lot of questions, and I think it's easier to address those questions in debate and in out in the open, because then you can.
I really like your approach about being open about sort of your challenges, but also the successes that you had. And what I also read is that EuroCities now has published sort of a standard also to support other cities in opening up, like you did and Helsinki did. And this document by EuroCities is also mainly based on all the work that you've done in Amsterdam and Helsinki, as far as I understand. So I really like this approach that you're sharing and that you're opening up about your own successes and failures, more or less, and helping others to sort of get it right when they're starting out with this. What would be the key advice you'd give to any city that is starting out with automizing processes, but also by opening up about it?
Yeah. I think the first tip would be to really train civil servants in the skill of moral judgment. What I mean with that is that there's really a good conversation to be had within development teams or in contact with policymakers on why you make the choices that you do and what is the impact of your algorithm on different groups in society. Because once you know how to address those issues, it's also easier to explain them, and it also becomes in a way less scary to be open, because you thought about it, you stand by your ground of the arguments that you chose, and you know for good reasons why you made a choice. So it's also always easy to explain it afterwards. And it also becomes easier to ask the questions that you find difficult, because when you weigh questions, there might be issues that are not so easily addressed or that are really a dilemma. And I think it will be a really great opportunity to organize those debates with your local community and figure it out together. Because in the end, the people that are impacted should also have a voice in the processes that impact them in a way. So that's also, again, the loop that I started with. Like, we create our tools and they affect us. So I think it can really take away this twofold of government and citizens, but make it more a collaborative and ongoing co-creation process of what do we think is fair? How do we think these processes should work? So that's the first tip. And the second tip is to really take the time to build capacity and create awareness, because what we also notice is that it's kind of almost two realities that such an algorithm registry serves. On the one side, it's the outside, and a lot of people will have a lot of opinions and views about the algorithm registry itself, but also about the algorithms that will be in there. So don't underestimate the effect that this can also have on project managers or process managers that use algorithms in their processes, because it can also become a bit of a bureaucracy pressure if you don't explain well what are the goals and the needs of publishing an algorithm in your registry, let's say. So I think it starts with capacity building, with awareness, and with a good skill in explaining why choices were made, because some processes, especially for municipalities, are quite sensitive processes that really impact citizens. So I think that's something that the algorithm registry has really brought us, is to be more in dialogue with anyone interested, like why is this in place, how does it work?
I think these are two quite valuable tips, and it's also nice to see how it also helped you, like applying these sort of mechanisms and approaches in the city of Amsterdam. When we're taking a step sort of further as well, and usually always AI is in one breath with ethics, digital rights, especially when we talk about these innovative technologies in the public sector. Amsterdam has been from the beginning a founding partner of the Cities Coalition for Digital Rights, and you are currently the coordinator of this coalition. Can you tell us what is the coalition about? What are its goals?
We established the Cities Coalition for Digital Rights to collaborate with like-minded cities. We can see that the beauty of cities is that they're the closest democratic institutions to its communities. But that's also why cities are really good gatekeepers of digitalization in city society, because they can see the good and the bad as one of the first. Like it's really a signaling task that cities could fulfill here and see what is positive and negative about also the AI or algorithm systems that we use, or the data-driven approach that is more and more popular. We were seeking like-minded cities that can collaborate together on specific tools, but also to take a stand on the importance of human rights and digital rights when it comes to the use of technology in our cities. So we see more companies also playing a role in the technology scene of our cities. And we see that not everyone is skilled already to take part in this digital society. So inclusion here is very important. Equality is very important. How to address these asymmetries in your city is also quite a task. So we noticed that cities see a lot of the same impact of technologies from their own services, but also from the use of technology within their cities, which means that they have a lot of similar challenges. And if you work together on that, you can really take a stand on these important topics, but also create solutions that work, and also exchange experiences, like how did you approach this and what works best. So one something that we recently worked on, which I think was quite exciting, is kind of a summary of those first 5 years of work to create a guide for cities and to make sure that they can self-assess and implement measurements that really advance human rights more in a mainstream approach. So not every now and then, or not step by step, but really saying the digital transformation in our city is human-centric. And I think with the framework, it gives really good foundations, structures and tools to actually start implementing these concepts, which are usually a bit broad and abstract if you don't pay attention, or if you start, it can be a bit abstract, these topics. And I think signing on to the coalition really gives also political leadership of a city more support in taking a stand on equality, on autonomy, on openness, like the values that we think are important in our public institutions.
I really like this approach. So basically, when I'm working at a city and, you know, the topic of AI is high on the agenda, I can basically go to the website of the Cities Coalition and download the guide, do the assessment, and help my own city government sort of start off this journey, bit of your experience that you've made in the coalition for the last 5 years. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So on the first hand, you can learn a lot from other cities, like what are their policies for surveillance technologies, for digital infrastructures, for data ethics, how did they set up their foundations or their values. So it can be a way to learn fast from the best practices of other cities, and also ask questions to colleagues, like how did you approach this? What were the challenges? And on the other hand, this is also something we recently did in the city of Amsterdam to really use this framework on mainstreaming human rights in the digital transformation of cities to do an assessment of where we can start. Because I think it's also a nice way to make your actions more concrete and just have a starting point within this topic.
That's cool. And what is currently the major topic for you in the coalition that you are at the moment working on? Or multiple?
Yeah, I think, as you said, responsible use of AI remains important. And on the second hand, what I also touched upon a little bit with the framework is not to... not to have a too fragmented approach, because we see that there's a lot of work within the field of open data, within the field of responsible data use, within the field of open infrastructures, but also privacy policies, open government policies, information security. So I think the most important work still is to bring all of that together. That digital rights is kind of the umbrella, let's say, of all those important topics. Which brings unity within the local government, but also clarity to the city that they can make sure that their digital rights are being protected. So it's really work with and for the community. Our most important work right now is to have a coherent basis for cities to work from. So we recently worked connected to the framework with four pilot cities, which are Dublin, Sofia, Brussels, and Tirana, which all those cities formalized their own local challenges. So one was on capacity building for civil servants, one was an education module for youth. And all of those four cities also now started with their own digital rights strategy, a multiple year plan to improve and implement characteristics of the framework that I just mentioned. And I think that's something very impressive as well, because you see that more cities now start this journey and can also support in that. So I think the challenge is really capacity building and keep learning from each other and make it clear what the local challenges are.
Nice. I really like this approach, and it sounds like there will be such a wealth of knowledge also being shared from these pilot cities, that other cities can just simply only benefit by following what's going on, and apply it to their own challenges, to their own sort of structures, and go ahead with the topic. I really love that. We talked a lot about sort of the local government level, and you also mentioned before that it's important that cities come together, city governments come together to sort of share and learn together. How do you see actually the involvement also of the other government levels? So, for example, the national level, the European level. What can they do to sort of support this topic as well, or support the local level also?
I think what would help is two different dynamics. So the first one is to really listen to city experiences. So indeed, what I started with, like, what are the most pressing issues at the moment that cities foresee, and also what makes it hard for them to protect the digital rights of their citizens. I think for us in Amsterdam, one of the topics was the use of sensors. So not only the use of sensors by the municipality, but also the use of sensors in public space by individuals or by companies. Like, what kind of tools do you have as a city to do something about it? And also, I think the topic of dark stores with fast delivery of groceries has recently been a topic, or the effect of Airbnb, like platforms in the city. Of course, European regulations will have an effect there, but how does that all come together? The effect of the European legislations, the national legislations, and then what kind of instruments do cities have to really enforce those rights? And also what is challenging about it. So on the one hand, they might need some standards that can really come from national and European levels. But then also listening and giving back to what works and what doesn't work, that's very important. So this multi-stakeholder approach, I think that's a good opportunity we are having right now. Yeah.
So definitely keep the channels open through all levels of government and try to reinforce the different activities, feeding back knowledge from, you know, bottom to the top, and so and vice versa as well. It really sounds pretty cool what you're doing with the coalition, also what you do in Amsterdam. I could talk honestly for hours with you. Maybe we go for a beer at some point and continue this podcast offline. One last question that I have, because we need to sort of come to an end, unfortunately. The coalition, are you still accepting new members, or how can other cities get involved?
Yes, definitely. We really welcome any city government who stands behind our principles to join us in ambition and principles and in action, we always say. So go to the website, there's a form there. So the website is citiesfordigitalrights.org. And on the website, you will find a form that you can fill out some of the digital rights ambitions and projects that you are already doing. And then we will be in touch. And I think it's a good moment to, in Europe and elsewhere in the world to unite and kind of bring the work forward and build further upon the lessons that we've had in the past 5 years, and make sure that in the coming 5 years, more and more cities join us. So
and also you just mentioned it. It's not just a European initiative, right? I mean, New York was one of the founding members, so it's really open to any city wherever located in the world.
Yeah,
to join.
It's of vital importance not to have this conversation from only a European perspective, but to be very inclusive in the narratives that we create, making sure that we are also including the Global South, other parts of the global regions. I think there are very valuable lessons in that exchange. And we also see that it's a way to learn fast from what other cities are doing. And often it also sparks a lot of new lessons learned when you listen to colleagues in different regions. So definitely we are eager to learn from anyone who shares this mission, from local governments all around.
So what we've learned today is that cities around the world have quite some resources and insights available if they want to dive deeper into the topic of AI and digital rights. And of course, you can join the Cities Coalition for Digital Rights. You can follow the work of the pilot cities, maybe even become one yourself, and start learning and cooperating.